Back before streaming music and iTunes, before CDs and even Walkmen, and before music shows on TV were required to include judges and audience voting, there was a guy named Glenn Campbell. And for a time, he was a giant in the industry. He had super cool hair. He could play the guitar like a maniac. And he churned out hit after hit after hit. By the time I get to Phoenix, Wichita, Lineman, Galveston, Gentle on My Mind. But as is the way of popularity and fame, he receded over time from the top of the charts, and I lost track of him as my musical tastes also changed. So I hadn't listened to a Glenn Campbell record for a long, long time, until a year or so ago, when I watched a documentary about him on Netflix. Now, the movie documented his final tour, and it was the final one because he had Alzheimer's, and the disease was slowly robbing him of his memory and his ability to be who he had always been. The film was at the same time both sad and fascinating, tragic and inspirational, and absorbing to watch as this legend fought, mostly in good humor, to hold on to who he was for one more concert, to sing a song he had been singing for 40 years while struggling to remember the lyrics. Now, that documentary was made 2 years ago. Today, Glenn Campbell is in a care facility and no longer remembers who he is or who he had once been. No longer remembers those who love him, no longer remembers those he once loved. No longer realizes what he and all of us have lost and how much has been taken away by this terrible disease that causes people to forget all they had once loved and everything that had been so important to them. The final song he ever released has become my favorite of his. And I can't listen to it without feeling in my soul the way it at once is haunting and heartbreaking and beautiful. It's called I'm Not Going to Miss You, and the lyrics go like this. I'm still here, but yet I'm gone. I don't play my guitar or sing my songs. They never defined who I am, the man that loves you till the end. You're the last person I will love. You're the last face I will recall, and best of all, I'm not going to miss you. I'm never going to hold you like I did or say I love you to the kids. You're never going to see it in my eyes. I'm not going to hurt when you cry. I'm never going to know what you go through, all the things I say or do, all the hurt and all the pain. One thing selfishly remains. I'm not going to miss you. Because that's the brutal truth of Alzheimer's. The disease makes you slowly forget. You forget who you are and who you were. You forget what and who you loved. You forget what was once more important to you than anything else. Not all at once, of course, but little by little by little by little, almost imperceptibly at first. Until finally, you forget to remember at all. You don't even miss remembering. You don't even miss that you miss any of it anymore. Until finally, there's nothing left. You're still here physically, but in every other way, you're gone. Now, I've been thinking about that song a lot over the last couple of weeks because of what happened to me in the middle of the 11 o'clock service on September 25th. It was during Pastor Fauzi's sermon that Sunday, and I didn't expect what happened, and I wasn't prepared for it. And I'm not entirely comfortable telling you about it now because it's so completely not my style. In fact, this past week, I asked a couple of people to come in my office and pray for me and for this message this morning, and that's not my style either. I'm kind of private that way. But this is one of those things I don't really have a choice about. On that particular Sunday, 3 weeks ago, I was troubled and disturbed about our worship attendance. Our guest all the way from Egypt was sharing a powerful message, a message that challenged me and touched my heart and would have done so for many of our people, but you could have shot a cannon through here and not hit a soul. It was one of those, if a tree falls in the woods and no one hears it, doesn't make a sound moment. If you have a church and no one worships, is it still a church? But I probably shouldn't have been shocked, because it simply fit a pattern that's become very familiar over the last 2 years around here, and even more so recently. It's picking up speed. The attendance that Sunday was, in fact, no worse than the Sunday before, no worse than the Sunday following, no worse than this morning. I checked. Which is to say, embarrassingly anemic. It's just a part of a whole series of symptoms pointing to something far deeper and more significant and more serious. Worship attendance going down so dramatically that if the trend continues at this pace in 5 years, there will be no CLC as we know it. Now, those who study these things tell me that that is true across the face of the church, across the country. It's happening everywhere, but you know, I had kind of hoped that maybe we would be different. Maybe we would be the exception. Pastor's Bible study and Wednesday night kids programs, participation in that has fallen off a cliff. Giving, that if nothing changes, will fall so short of what we promised at our annual meeting that council may have to consider taking some truly painful actions. People still showing up, but losing heart and passion for the ministry they once did. Yes, there are bright spots. Giving for the Fellowship Center project is on track. We're thankful for that. Support for Pastor Fauzi's ministry has been generous. $10,000 was given to support him in his work with refugees, and we should celebrate that, and he is thankful for that, and we give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Mission teams have gone and returned. We have new members joining our family next Sunday if this sermon doesn't scare them off. We have some great things planned yet for this fall. We still know what it is to be family together. We still have people coming here for the first time, visiting with us, being with us for the first time. And if that's you today, sorry, but you walked in on some family business. But the thing with good news, see, is that we all want to hear it, and we all want to celebrate it, and we should, that's appropriate, but we sometimes use it to avoid reality. We sometimes happy talk our way into deceiving ourselves about what is really going on. That's called denial. And so I sat right there that morning listening to Fauzi's sermon, and the phrase that came to my mind, unbidden, it just popped in there, and I haven't been able to get it out of my head ever since, was, they have forgotten their first love. Now, I never claim that Jesus speaks to me in ways any different than he speaks to you, which is most often hidden and quiet and subtle and indirect. I do not use language about how God told me this morning while I was having coffee, because it doesn't work that way for me, although I sometimes wish it would, because it would make life easier. And then I could tell you that God told me this morning that I need a brand new Maserati for my ministry. Thank you. But while maybe God speaks directly and distinctly to some, I'm not usually on the receiving end of that. So when you get a sense that God has pointedly and intentionally given you a very specific message, you probably should pay attention and take it seriously. And that's what I believe happened 3 weeks ago. I don't have a Samsung phone, so I'm pretty sure that I was not simply experiencing an exploding battery. But what was as clear as could be, the message that we need to hear is that as a congregation, we are collectively forgetting our first love. Which brings me back to that Glen Campbell song and the confirmation verse for today, which is our scripture lesson. You may know that over the last few weeks, We have been taking various verses from the Bible that are often used as confirmation verses, because we're going to be doing that with our ninth graders here in a couple of weeks. And we've been talking about those verses, and I had actually chosen the reading for this morning as part of that series months ago. But I didn't realize at the time why, or that it would be the foundation of this particular message. I guess God had other plans. And to be honest, while no one wants to be on the receiving end of an intervention, and no one wants to be the one who must deliver the message, God doesn't always give us that choice. And I guess this is one of those times. Now, the lesson we read this morning carries an important reminder. It comes from a speech given by Moses to the generation of Israelites who are about to enter into the promised land. And he says, in effect, as you enter this land that God promised to your ancestors and he's promised to give you, as your years of wandering in the desert are about to end, as the decades of your slavery in Egypt slipped into your past, don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget the covenant that God made with you. Don't forget who did this for you. Don't forget who saved you. Don't forget his promises to you. Don't forget who journeyed with you. Don't forget. And that theme echoes from this passage all the way through Scripture, right on to the very end, because God's people have always been forgetful people. The Israelites forget they've been rescued from slavery. The disciples forget the Savior they followed. You and I forget the God who calls us his own. Forget the sacrifice he's made in blood and pain. Forget the passion that we once had for him. Forget the joy we once felt in serving him. Forget the excitement that enveloped us when someone new came to Christ. Or we had been instrumental and in introducing someone to him through this church. We forget. You could call it spiritual Alzheimer's. Rescued people forget they've been rescued. Forgiven people forget they've been forgiven. People who have been given new life forget they were ever dead. The problem is that we forget the very things we need to remember, and we remember the very things we need to forget. We forget the words of the psalm in Psalm 19 that says, "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." We forget the words of Psalm 30. You turn my wailing into dancing. And you removed my sackcloth and you clothed me with joy. We forget Jesus' own words. "I have come that they may have life and life to the full." But that's because we forget that full life only exists in him. We once thought that nothing could dim the joy of our faith. That nothing could cause us to forget our first love. That nothing could muffle the music our hearts sang when we were new to this place. And then time passed. Life got in the way. We got distracted. We grew tired. We grew bored or disillusioned or numb. And spiritual Alzheimer's begins to set in. And when the disease progresses far enough, you stop even missing what you've forgotten. And I sometimes think that as a congregation, we have forgotten that we miss what we've forgotten. Now I fully understand that I'm preaching to the choir this morning, because you are the ones who are here. Many of you are the truly faithful. Thank you. I cannot say that strongly enough. I want you to hear that. Thank you. But even among the faithful, many of us have begun to flag, to go through the motions just a bit. You fulfill your commitments because that is who you are, and you will always serve the Lord. But maybe you're doing so while no longer feeling the joy you once did and the passion, feeling drained because you feel like you're doing this all by yourself, looking around, seeing people and knowing how hard it is to get them to help, feeling the frustration and the sadness over the many who may still be here and yet are gone. And that debilitates anyone who finds himself or herself in that place. I don't want that for you. Jesus doesn't want that for you. But the truth is, spiritual Alzheimer's, forgetting our first love, if that's not true for you, it is true for a wide swath of this congregation. And together, we must address that. That's why I'm sharing this message with you, even though you're still here, because we need to address this together. And let me tell you why. Because that's what happened through the church in Ephesus. The book of Revelation, at the end of the Bible, it begins with a series of messages addressed to the leading churches at the time. And one of those churches was the church at Ephesus. Now, you've heard of them before from the book of Ephesians, right? The church that Paul began and later wrote his letter to. But the message that came to them years later in Revelation was this: you have forgotten your first love. Apparently, spiritual Alzheimer's had gotten them too. As a church, they were still there, and yet they were gone. And if you want to know what the result of that is, see if you can find the Ephesian church on the web today. See if you can locate their homepage. See if you can stop in for worship the next time you're in town. You can't. You know why? Because they no longer exist. The revelation message to them was that if they didn't repent and do the things they did at first, their lampstand would be removed. In other words, there was no guarantee, there never is, that God would continue to bless any congregation that has forgotten how to respond to Him. See, Jesus never promised that every congregation would remain until He came. He promised that the whole church would remain. Paul's churches don't exist anymore. When we fail to remember the truth about God's good and perfect gifts, when we fail to remember the covenant, when we fail to remember our first love, then the lesser joys of life take over with their power to allure and distract and lead us astray. And the question is, my question is, in the end, will that be the story of Christ Lutheran Church? Now, you cannot program your way out of a forgotten love. Love returns when you remember the love you once had and why it was there. When you take time to recall why you loved in the first place. When you focus again on what attracted you to begin with and on the person you loved from the start. Love grows again when you put that relationship front and center as it used to be. When you remember to look in the eyes of the one who still loves you instead of looking past them. None of what faces us as a congregation is going to be fixed by better programs or more convenient scheduling or harder work or drummed up enthusiasm. It's just not going to work. It doesn't work that way. So, what then? When Jesus told his disciples to gather, he knew everything would not always be awesome. And he was incredibly specific about the reason they were to gather together: to remember him. On the night he was betrayed, they ate and drank and laughed and carried on like any group of friends would. And after dinner, Jesus lifted the bread and he lifted the wine and said that every time they got together, they were to remember what he did for them and why he did it. That's why we worship, so that we can come together and we can remember together with Jesus in our presence. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing together in a minute. Remembering takes the form of confession and celebration of the one who loves us even to death. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to do something with me. I've never done exactly this before in all my years of ministry because it's kind of not my style either. But today is a good day. We're going to intercede for our whole congregation. And intercede simply means to lift them up in prayer. Asking that God would restore the fire and the passion of our first love in each of us and in those who are not here. We're going to repent of being a congregation that has drifted and wandered away from our first love, and we're going to seek forgiveness. We're going to ask the Lord in His mercy and goodness to help us remember who we are and who He is, that we might be a dynamic community that remembers its first love, that loves Jesus, and that is revived by that love. Because at the heart of what revival is its prayer. So that's what we'll do. We'll do that so that we will remember what we are here to do. That as God's church, we are His expression in the world. That we are the language of God for this community. That we are the scent of God in the world. So that we will remember what by the Spirit this church is capable of. Not so that we can wish that we could be what we were. That's a waste of time. But so that we can focus on God, what God wants us to be now. God has blessed us, and He wants to again, but it begins by remembering our first love. And so if you are breathing, you have a role to play. To pray for yourself and your first love. To pray for those who may have forgotten theirs. And to pray with diligence and groaning and trust for this congregation. Because there's another church in Revelation that receives a message as well, just like the church at Ephesus. That's the church at Sardis. Now, a few years ago, I told you about another couple that I knew that had Alzheimer's. I worked in a nursing home at the time, and a resident there by the name of Billy was one of the men that I was responsible for, and he was a spitting image of Spencer Tracy with big bushy black eyebrows and black horn-rimmed glasses. He communicated almost not at all. There just didn't seem to be much going on in his mind anymore. And living on the opposite side of the building, on the women's side, was Emma. Now, Emma had the same issue as Billy. Her memory seemed to be gone. She spent her day wandering aimlessly up and down the hallway, always looking for something but never finding it. Billy and Emma were married, but they didn't know it. They lived in separate rooms because they no longer remembered who each other was. They never recognized each other. They didn't remember their first love. And it went on like that through the months that I worked there, Emma and her toothless smile, Billy in his wheelchair, oblivious to each other even when they're in the same room. Until the day that Billy got sick. And his health declined, and he spent less time in the community room and more time in his bed until finally he was going to have to be taken to the hospital. And that evening, before the ambulance arrived, as I came through the doorway into Billy's room, I found Emma there, not standing vacantly in the middle of the room as she always did. Instead, she was sitting in a chair that she had pulled up next to the bed. And she held Billy's hand in hers, and she was quietly, gently stroking his skin. And she leaned over close to his ear, whispering something to him so quietly, it was as if only he was meant to hear it. And then she continued with her soothing caress. And I watched for a moment, mesmerized by the tender scene, realizing I was in the presence of holiness. For in that room, in that moment, when her husband was about to go to the hospital, perhaps for the final time, Emma had gone to comfort him. Emma, through the fog of her clotted brain, remembered who he was, remembered what they had shared, just remembered. Revelation's address to that church in Sardis says this: You have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Yet there are still some among you who are alive. And that message to that church continues, and it says, wake up, because its work is unfinished. In other words, that message to us, we may be forgetting our first love, but by the Spirit we can remember again, because our work is not finished. Remember. Now I'm going to invite you forward if you would like. Not something I'm used to doing because I'm a Lutheran pastor after all. But I'm going to invite you forward if you wish to come and kneel with me at the foot of the cross at the altar. And we're going to pray for ourselves and for the church. And if you want to come up and kneel with me, come on up. If you want to come up and you can't kneel because it's hard on your knees, then just come up and stand. And if you don't want to come, that's okay. I don't want to manipulate you. I don't want you to feel maneuvered into this. If this is not in your comfort zone, if you just is just too weird for you, that is perfectly okay. If this prayer is not one that you share, it's all right. It's all right. But if you would like to come up with me now, okay, then I invite you to do so and kneel with me and let's pray. Lord God, we come before you. And we bow at your feet as we sang a few moments ago, we are broken at your feet. And we bow at your feet. And we would tell you the truth, and we would tell ourselves the truth that as a congregation, we have forgotten our first love. And we repent of that, Lord, and repent simply means to turn around. And so we turn from everything else. And we ask that your Spirit would rain down among us that we might remember our first love, that we be reminded of the passion of serving you, that we might be reminded of the joy that we feel and that we know because, Lord, you have sacrificed so much for us. You have gone as far as is possible. You have done everything that needs doing. And you've done it simply out of joy and love for us. And, Lord, we don't want to forget that. We don't want to take that in stride. We don't want to take that for granted, and yet we do. And Lord, we would be honest with you. Our congregation has some difficulties, some challenges that we face, and we cannot program our way out of it, and we cannot do it ourselves, and we are foolish to try. And we're foolish to pretend that everything is just fine, because it's not, and you know that. And so we need to remember our first love. We need to remember what we used to do. We need to remember that we are yours. And so, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would fill us, that it would revive us, that you would bank up the coals around our hearts so that that fire might burn strong and powerfully and bright once again. And I pray that for our whole congregation, we all do. And I ask, Lord, that each of us would be willing to make that commitment to pray constantly and without ceasing for those among us who may be here and yet are not. Lord, bless this congregation, but bless us by reminding us of our first love. And Lord, let us see the power of your Spirit working in us and through us in a way that we have never seen before. Lord, come among us in power and glory and raise us up and raise this ministry up and touch our hearts and set us on fire that we might adore once again our first love. Amen.